Thanks for joining us today. We want to hear how God is using our ministry to make a difference in your life today. Send your story to mystory@oceansunite.com. And we also want to say that if you are encouraged and you want to partner with our ministry, go to oceansunite.com, select the giving option that best suits you. And we want to thank you for your participation, and we want to bless you.
All right. Well, let me see by a quick show of hands, who was here on Sunday night? Amen. Okay, lots of you. Who of you were here last night? Okay, who of you were not here last night? Amen. Well, welcome. Good to have you all here. Amen. It's so good to see you and to have you with us. What I advise you to do is to go and get the recordings. They'll be online, hopefully within the next day or two, from both Sunday and Monday night in order for you to understand where we are. Now, every message is unique, so you should be able to get something from tonight. But in order for you to get the fullness of what I'm ministering on this week, you need to listen to every night because it's kind of been a series, if that makes any sense. Amen. So last night, we spoke about, well, let me rather say this. On Sunday night, we spoke about the fire of the Spirit, the fire of God. And the Bible says that He will come to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The He there is Jesus. He will come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I don't know about you, but if that's the baptism I'm supposed to have, that's the baptism I want. Amen. If I'm supposed to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, I want that. Amen. We also saw that in the Old Testament, there was a menorah. The menorah was the lampstand that stood in the holy place. That lampstand would shine in there, and the high priest would be able to do what he needed to do to worship God and to do his chores and the things he had to do in the holy place. And the only light that was provided in there was from that lampstand. What we saw was that lampstand required oil constantly, all the time. And that oil had to be managed and taken care of by the high priest. He would go into the holy place and he would take care of that oil. He would change it, and it would have to be a fresh oil every single day. He would have to replace that oil with the purest oil. Normally we eat with pure oil, and with cheap oil we cook or we oil our cars or whatever. Amen. But in that case, the situation was that they used the most expensive oil for the lampstand. The reason why was because it had to be pure. It represented holiness. It represented purity. And so it is in the lives of every believer that we need to also change our oil. Amen. We need fresh oil. We need a fresh anointing. We need the Holy Spirit every day. And it all comes from relationship. Is that okay? So we saw that last night. And we saw something. I want to read one scripture to you that I read to you last night, which is extremely powerful. And it's a vision that Zechariah has, or an encounter that he has with an angel. And he says this in Zechariah 4, verse number 6. I think they have it. I'm not sure. Zechariah 4, verse number 6. And it says this. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. And he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." The reality is that your mountain in your life will require the power of the Spirit to flatten that mountain. You cannot do it by might. You cannot do it by power. You cannot do it with your abilities. The only thing that will sort out that mountain, that obstacle, that enemy in your life, is the Spirit of God Himself. Amen. Now, if you don't have the firelight of the Spirit burning bright in your life, you will not be able to flatten anything. Amen. Now, let me show you something, because this is very interesting. We all know that in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all the apostles, on the disciples. There was actually 120 of them. And they were all up there, and the power of God fell in that place, and the tongues of fire sat upon each of them. Yes, tongues of fire. It was awesome. Amen. Thank God for tongues of fire. Amen. So we see that this power comes upon them, and the Holy Spirit fills them, and Peter goes out and he preaches with boldness, and they're going into Jerusalem, and signs and wonders are following them, and they're having a great time. And then all of a sudden, they begin to get persecuted. And while they're getting persecuted, things get a little difficult. One major miracle takes place and the high priest doesn't want them to speak the name of Jesus anymore. And things get a little bit tough. And I want to show you the response of these disciples. When the pressure heats up in the kitchen, what do? Let me show you. Let's go to Acts 4, verse number 29. Now, take note. They have already been filled with the Holy Spirit. But at this stage, you know, should they not just be filled and it's good enough and that's it and everything should just come by the sweet by and by? No. Amen. Acts 4, verse 29. Now look on their threats. Now they're busy praying, actually, together in this room. And grant to your servants that which with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through your name of the holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Oh, let me tell you something. When you get together and you mean business with God, and it doesn't matter how many times you've been filled, when you mean business and your oil is going a little bit dry and you go into the secret place and you begin to pray, all of a sudden there's a shaking that takes place. And the Bible says that where they were, that place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. What do you mean they were filled? They were filled before. No, they were filled again. You see, the secret to the anointing is staying filled. The secret to the anointing is having the oil constantly filled in your life. If you allow your oil to go dry, then you will be dry. Now listen, we are talking about the elite here. If the elite needed to pray for some fresh oil, so do I. Amen. All right, that was for free. Now we'll get to the sermon. Amen. So now that you know that in order to kindle the fire of the Spirit in your life, once you have that fire burning, in order to keep that fire burning, you must have oil. Jesus said that He will send the Helper to you, the Holy Spirit. He will send you a companion. He will send you the Parakletos. If you study it in the Greek, it is so powerful. I can preach one sermon just on the meaning of His name, the Holy Spirit, and tell you everything He is to you because it's incredible. He is not a power, even though He is powerful. He is not a wind, even though He comes in like a wind. He is not a breath, even though, listen, Jesus breathed and He came out and He touched the disciples. Listen, some of you think, what the heck is Pastor Alex doing when he bros on people? Listen, Jesus did it. I tried it and it works. Amen? What do you want me to do? No, he don't go to that church. He breathes on the people. That's right. Well, you know, I should be Christ-like. Amen. If He did it, I'm going to do it. If He did it, I'm going to do it. Amen. Amen. I'll try my best to behave. Amen. All right. Now we have this fire and we have this oil. The question is, what do we do with it? What do we do with this oil and why does He give it to us? What is the purpose of the oil besides your intimate relationship with Him? Besides you being filled? Besides you having this great encounter? And these things are all very good, but there must be more to it. And so tonight, I want to talk to you about this. The topic of the sermon tonight is, will you lay it down? Will you lay it down? Let's start together in our Bibles at John 13, verse 31. John 13, verse 31. Listen, tonight I would have loved to have come out here and just spoken about gifts of the Spirit and the power of God, but I have to be obedient. Is that okay? Amen? Because, you know, we can have these types of meetings 10 times a year, and you can all be filled and filled and have all this wonderful power of God in your life, and you're filled and you're feeling great and everything, and then we don't do anything with it. And it's time for us as a church to do something with what He gives us. Amen. Let me ask you a question. How many people in this room say, I want to be a disciple? Let me see your hands. If you didn't put your hand up, that's okay. We'll pray for you afterwards. Amen. Okay. I heard something that... Let's not go there. Amen. Okay. John 13, verse 31. So when He had gone out, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself and glorify Him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. Now He's talking to His disciples just before He gets crucified. You will seek Me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, now this is a very intimate moment between Him and His disciples. He's about to tell them, listen, I'm going to leave you and you can't come with Me. This is hard for them. Where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you a new commandment. Now watch what He says to them because it's so powerful. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are My disciples. How will we know if we are disciples? We will know if we love one another. He says, by this, all will know that you are My disciples if you have love for one another. Now watch Simon, because he's always the first one to speak. It's just, you know, it's just what he does. Amen. Simon Peter said to Him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow Me now, but you shall follow Me afterwards. And I believe just kind of studying Peter that he probably didn't even hear the afterwards part. All that was worrying him was, why did Jesus say no to him? And his response now is interesting. He says this, Peter said to Him, Lord, why can I not follow You? Now listen to what he's about to say. I will lay down my life for Your sake. I will lay down my life for You, Lord. I love You. I serve You. I want to lay my life down for You. And He means it. He means it. But Jesus answers him and says to him this, watch. Will you lay down your life for My sake? And again, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied Me 3 times. Now, if I was a betting man, and I'm not because I'm in church, amen? But if I was, I would say that Peter wouldn't deny Him. I can only imagine this moment when he says to Jesus, I want to lay my life down for You, Lord. I want to lay my life down for You. Now, you know, but let's put it into perspective now. I'm not saying, I mean, now I know, you know, He was the Christ. So if He says you're going to deny Him, you're going to deny Him, amen? But I mean, I'm just saying like, anyway, amen, okay? Amen. I don't know what's happening tonight. Amen. Will you lay your life down for My sake? And Jesus is saying this, looking at Him as if he doesn't really know what that means yet. And it's interesting because He's already made an incredible statement. And it's almost like everything He just said, Peter didn't hear. Because Peter's so fixed on Him that he's missing the point about what Jesus had just said a few minutes ago. Now let's watch what happens. Amen. Are you guys okay? All right. It's Vero Beach. It's Tuesday night. And we're kind of having revival. Amen. Last night was so powerful. Amen. It really was so powerful. Amen. Luke 22, verse 54. Let's go there and see what happens. Luke 22, Amen. Amen. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. So he's watching the whole thing play out with Jesus. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." Now watch. But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." So then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." Immediately, I just think it's incredible. I just think, how is it possible that as he denies him the third time, it is like instantly that the rooster crows. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine this moment? That the rooster crows, Jesus is standing there, Peter's lying over there on the ground or sitting in a chair or whatever it is, and he denies Jesus the third time. Jesus hears the rooster, Peter hears the rooster, the Lord looks at him as if to say, "I told you, you would deny me." This is like unbelievable. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. When you get filled with fire, and when you get filled with oil, it is normal to feel like you can give it all for Jesus. Listen, you should feel that way. That's what the oil and the fire does. It makes you so hungry. You say, "Lord, I'll do it all. I'll give it all. I'll lay my life down for you." And it's so funny because that has become like curse words in the church now. Laying your life down for him. Laying your life down for him is something that we talk about as believers because it's something that we should all do. Now, it's interesting because the same way that Peter denies Christ, I hate to say this to you, but so do we. I know this is a shocking revelation, amen. But this is true. Because I often think the truth of the matter is we don't really know what laying our lives down means. You see, it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit. What's the key? You have to listen to what? To the spirit. What is he saying? Amen? What is he saying? Now, there are many situations. I'll give you just a couple, if that's okay. You guys all okay still? I've seen so many times with young people, teenagers. I even remember back when I was in school that someone would say, "Do you go to church? Are you a Christian?" And the reply of the young Christian child under peer pressure will say, "No. You've denied him. That's what you've done. You've actually denied him." Are you okay, guys? Okay, don't worry. It's going to be good in about 7 minutes. Amen. We've got to get through this part. Amen. Peter denied him three times. This man, this is what was said, this man was also with them. I don't know him. You also are of them. Man, I am not. Listen how he gets more upset. The third time, this fellow also was with him. Man, I do not know what you are saying. This is what he says. So many of us talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk. Now watch, I'll give you a scripture. Let's go to John 1 John 1 verse 6. Everybody's looking at me like, please, Pastor, save us. Amen. Okay, it's not that bad. You're going to see in just a minute. I'm going to show you something so powerful tonight that it's going to set you free. Amen. 1 John 1 verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. The reality is that we walk denying him in our lifestyle. Denying him in things we do. Listen, if you are at the cash register at Publix and the Holy Spirit whispers in your ear, I want you to speak to her, and you don't do it, you are denying him. Laying your life down does not necessarily mean that you now must sacrifice. What it means is you must make yourself available to him. It means that you must make yourself available to what he is saying. Listen, I'm not talking about denying yourself. And I'm not talking about paying a price. I'm talking about laying your life down. In other words, Father, I'm giving my life to you. I want you to have your way in my life. Amen? Now, I'm going to show you something in just a minute that's going to prove what I'm saying. Is that okay? You have been given the greatest gift the world has ever known. We are talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter gets up and the first thing he does is he speaks about the gift that God had given. This gift was actually given and prophesied about from the times of Abraham. You have this gift. The Holy Spirit is in you. He's with you. He's speaking with you. Now Jesus is saying, I want you to lay your life down. In other words, I want you to be a vessel. I want to use you. I want to use you to touch people's lives. I want to use you to speak into people's lives. I want you to make a difference. What you don't understand is all you have to do is get out of the way. You have to get out the way, and you have to give him opportunity to use you. And when you give him opportunity and you become obedient to his voice, that's the time that you begin to lay your life down. Now watch. Let's go to John 21, verse number 12. John 21, verse number 12. Now what you must understand is a lot of time has passed from when Jesus told Peter he would deny him, and he does deny him. Now watch, they're on the beach, and Jesus has already appeared to the disciples a few times, but we don't hear of any conversations between Jesus and Peter until now. Amen? Watch this now. John 21, verse number 12. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. They were in their boat. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, now watch, here comes the conversation. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Now put it into perspective. The last time they had a conversation, he said he would lay his life down for him. Now Jesus is saying, listen, Simon, do you love me? In other words, what he's busy saying is, Simon, remember what you said, that you'll lay your life down for me. Well, guess how that worked out. But again, I say to you, Simon, do you love me? And church, this question tonight is ringing so loud in the spirit. If only you will hear it, because Jesus is still saying the same thing right now. Do you love me? What did I say last night? It's not about works. It's not about this. It's not about that. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by his spirit. It's all about relationship, right? Now watch. "Do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Now watch, feed my lambs." I think at this point, if I was Peter, I'd already be puzzled. And he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him again, "Feed my sheep." In other words, what he's saying is, "Peter, I want you to take note. If you love me, you will love my people. If you love me, you will love people. If you love me, you will touch people's lives. If you love me, you will take care of those." The people out there are the ones who will matter, Peter, to you. They matter to me. They must matter to you. So he's busy trying to show him that it's all about the people. Amen. If you really have the love of Jesus burning inside your heart, you will begin to get a passion for people. You will begin to get a passion for people. Because at the end of the day, he said to us that if we want to be a disciple, we must love our neighbor as he loves us. We need to have that same love in our hearts. Listen, if God gives you his fire, if God gives you his power, if God gives you his spirit, the reason why he gives it to you, sorry to tell you this, but it's not for you only. The reason he's given it to you is so that you can share it with the world, so that you can share it with the liar, with the lost, and the broken, and the hurting, and the needy, and the desperate, and the brokenhearted, and those who need healing, and those that need recovery of sight, and those that need to be raised from the dead. That same power that dwells in you, that same power that he gave to us, he's given it to us so we can share it with the world. Now watch. "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying what death he would glorify God. And when he had finished, when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me. Follow me." In other words, now Peter, now that you know what laying your life down means, now that you know that what it means is that you have to go out there and listen to my voice, because I want to touch people everywhere I go. And in order for you to be available, you have to lay your life down. You see, it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by his spirit. The key is to become sensitive to his voice. And if we become sensitive to his voice, you're going to be busy. You're going to be so busy. Because he's not going to leave you alone. Why? Because that's why he came to this earth. That's why he came here. I have shared with you, not this week only, I've shared with you for months. And for months, the season and the time that we are in right now. And God is about to do something incredible in the church and on this planet right now. He's going to fill you. He's already done it. This weekend already so far, God has touched so many people. It's been so powerful. And he's already been stirring you up, not only this week, but from months before. What you must never forget is that he doesn't do it just to make you feel good. Even though it's wonderful to feel good. Amen? There's nothing better than experiencing the tangible Shekinah presence of God. It's wonderful, okay? But the real reason why he fills you is so that you can become a disciple. And a disciple will love one another. We have to love this world, guys. We must not judge the world. We must love the world. You cannot judge. Listen, it's easier. It's easier, and you have more right. Don't take this the wrong way. To judge a Christian than you have to judge a non-believer. Because a non-believer doesn't know any better. But you should know better. So I just want to rebuke you. Amen. But a non-believer, we cannot rebuke them. We cannot judge them. They are sinners, man. They don't know better. They need to know His love. Don't get so fixed on religion and what can I do to make sure this and you know, I've got to make sure I do this and I must do this and I must do that, otherwise I won't please the Lord. And no. Lay your life down for Him. Make yourself available for Him. And your relationship with Him will become better than ever. Your relationship will become better than ever. He will speak better than ever. You will hear Him better than ever. The anointing will increase better than ever. It just requires relationship. It requires a desire from you. If you really love Him, you will feed His sheep. If you really love Him, you will feed His lambs. Listen, I can theologically break it down and look at every single meaning, but there's no point. The point this evening in this place is that you are going to be filled. And when you are filled, take what you have and share it with the world. Lay your life down for Him. Give your life to Him. Serve for Him. Make a difference for Him. Amen. 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 You see, it's kind of like this. If you love me, then do what I did and lay down your life for them as well. Feed them. Take care of them. Every one of them are precious to me. Every soul is precious to Him. He's done it all. All you have to do is make yourself available. Because you must understand, you and I don't feel like listening all the time. We want to do our own thing. And when we're doing our own thing, we are not laying down our lives. Amen. It is not by might or by power. It is by His Spirit. One more scripture, John 15, verse 13, because I said I would minister to you tonight. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. If you really love the Lord, and if you really have love in you, you'll do whatever it takes to be a part of making sure that those people in your life find out about His love. Listen, there are going to be times that you will be rejected. He was rejected. There are times that you will be mocked. He was mocked. There are times that they'll laugh at you. They laughed at Him. They'll want to stone you. They'll want to kill you. They did it to Him. They've done it to me. They'll do it to you. It's just part of it. Amen. This salvation is not a selfish salvation. It is one that is born and birthed out of true agape love. That kind of love only gives and takes nothing in return. Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, this evening in this place, we thank You for what You have done this week so far. We thank You that You've moved so powerfully, Lord, and You've spoken to us so clearly with words that I believe, Father, will pierce our hearts, and I pray that they will ring true forever. That we will never forget to keep the fire burning. That we will never forget to keep the oil in our lamps filled, O God. Our relationship with You, we have value above all things, Father. Our desire to serve You more than anything, our love for You, we want to keep strong and firm forever. And Father, the closer we get to You, the more You show us how we must love our neighbor, how we must love those around us. And I pray, Father, that we will learn that laying our lives down means that we should lay it down for our friends, for our neighbors, for those around us, for the person at the bus stop, for the person at school, for the person in our business place, for that family member that never wants to talk to us, for our cousin, for our sister, for our father, for our mother, for our brother, for our aunt, Father, for that person that we even have something against, Father, or we feel hurt by, or whatever it is. Oh God, I pray you will change our hearts and we will recognize the severity of what we're dealing with here, because the reality is there are two choices, life or death. And Father, as much as we may not like somebody, they don't deserve that death. We want to see everyone have the opportunity to change, have the opportunity to serve you. But Father, I know religion will never change anybody, but your love and your power will change the world. And so I pray that you'll put that firelight inside the hearts of every single one of us. And then, Father, like with Peter, we will see that in order to really touch your heart, we must also learn how to have your heart beat in our hearts. And your heart is such a heart of love and laying down your life, so much so that we will do anything to touch the people around us. Father, give us a hunger for this. Give us a passion for it. And I pray tonight that whatever you do after this, Father, that this message will always be burned in our souls, in our spirits, that we will never forget it. As simple as it may seem, Father, it is so important and so profound. And so I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor, and I give you all the praise. Now, Father, I pray, as we go into a time of just listening to your voice and what you want to do tonight, Father, I pray that you will move powerfully, Father, tonight, that you will touch lives, that you will heal the brokenhearted, that you will touch, Father, those who need a miracle in their bodies. Father, many have been fasting, and Lord, I pray that tonight many of those prayers will be answered in some way or form, Father, that you'll speak to them or do the miracle. But we rely and trust on you, Father, like it was with the apostles when persecution came. They went back into the upper room and they began to pray again, Father, and the whole place was shaken, and they cried out to you and said, show us, Lord, show us your signs and your wonders. Do your miracles, Father. Again, we cry out to you this evening in this place, and we ask you, Abba Father, that you will fill this place with your holy anointing oil tonight. That it will just flood this place from heaven, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you will surround this building right now with your angels. And that your presence will fill this place right now in the name of Jesus. Father, confirm the words these three nights tonight with signs, wonders, and miracles. And Father, I just pray that you will have your way.
Thanks for joining us. We hope that this message has inspired you in so many ways. If you would like to support our ministry, or if you would like more messages, you can find that at www.oceansunite.com. Once again, we are so excited to have you as a part of the family. Have a wonderful day.